Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 298. It is April, last week of April, 2024. And, yeah, I got plenty of excuses. The last podcast was several months ago. Time just slips on by. And if you're a regular listener to the show, I don't know if you noticed what I just did there. I cut off part of the intro because I think it just took too long. It takes too long to get into the meat and potatoes of the show. I got to explain my absence. I got abducted by aliens, and that's why I haven't been doing a podcast. Got abducted by aliens. It was really strange. I think it happened right after Christmas, and was not able to do any podcasts while I was in the flying saucer. So that's the reason for no podcasts. Alien abduction was awful. I've got some really, really big news to pass along, and it's bad news for the town of Ashland and this area. Good news for Ashland Tom. Ashland Tom is moving out of Ashland, and he is going to be renamed Pennsylvania Tom or PA Tom. He is moving to Pennsylvania with his wife. Big loss for the local running community and our Wolfpack running group. He's had to make some decisions. He's closer to retirement than the rest of us, and I know that he is going to be helping his wife look after his in-laws. He's going to be just a few hours south of Buffalo, New York. So I don't know what it's called. If it's called upstate Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania. I'm not sure what it's called where he's going. But he's moving to a town. Tom has... he created the Ashland Track Club for all our kids when they were little. He set up these events where... You know, kids would run some different distances. It was really cool, and kids got to wear their Ashland Track Club t-shirts, and I think a couple people had sweatshirts made, and it was kind of a, and it came up with this little logo, and it was just really cool, and the kids, we still talk about that. This is back when the kids were like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Most of the kids now are in their 20s. And also, he is the founder of the unofficial Ashland Turkey Trot. Lean Turkey Trot, L-E-A-N, and that's been going on for years. Brings out runners of all ages, runners from different running groups around town, and that's the official, unofficial Ashland Turkey Trot. Of course, t-shirts were made for that as well. So things just won't be the same. And me personally, and that's just coming from the community, but me personally, Tom is my ultra. Not only my good friend, close friend, but also my ultra running friend. And we both did our first 50K together, which was Swinging Bridge 50K. I think that's when it was negative. It was negative 2 Fahrenheit on my car's thermometer when we started that race. Never run in anything so cold. Everything was frozen, including our bodies. I remember I was trying to take my shoes off and change my socks out, and my shoelaces were so frozen I couldn't. I had to pull the shoe off. I don't remember how I got it back on. It's never really the same tightness when you put a shoe back on after you pulled it off without undoing the laces. We did the Sterling Gym 40 miler together, ran through the mountains of Tennessee. We've done the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K together. It's an August race. Brutal conditions, just the humidity in Central Virginia in August, it's pretty tough. And I remember this particular race, the deer flies were so bad, they gave you tape for your hat. So the flies would be attracted to the tape, double-sided tape. And, they wouldn't get up in your face. That's how bad it was. I don't remember how many we had. So that's going to be a big loss. I've been running with Tom for pretty regularly since about 2006 when we we did a training team, half marathon training team together. I think he was one of the coaches. And then he was a 10K training team coach out of the YMCA for a while. That's when I met Ashlyn Bryan. He was my first running coaches. Actually, my first running coach, because I did the 10K training team before I did the half marathon training team. So I think I met Tom back before I did marathon. I met him back before I was doing marathons. Plus, we go to the same parish, and so I see him at church. I know his daughters are going to be still living in the Richmond area, so Tom will hopefully get down here for some visits. And I think next weekend, first weekend in May, is going to be his last weekend here. So I'm going to make sure we cross paths. Plus, I got a small gift for him that I want to give him. By the way, I was not really abducted by aliens. I don't want anybody to... sometimes I've been told that I'm able to... I'm a good liar, so wasn't really a lie. I was just trying to be funny. Big loss for the Ashland running community in Hanover. He knows a lot of people, and a lot of people know Ashland Tom, and I'm sure gonna miss him. All around good guy, and that's probably the best thing about him. He's a very giving person. Wolfpack won't be the same. All right, well, here's my running progress. Here's what I do. I do two milers a week and then a 5-miler on the weekend with my group. And there are days where I run after work where I feel like I can barely run a mile. And it's not because I'm in pain. It's I'm not getting endurance. But then on the flip side, I ran 2 miles yesterday or Friday. And it felt great. And my dog was the one that was falling behind me. She was having a hard time keeping up. And I wasn't really running that fast. My pace was an 11:15 mile. That's where my progress is right now. Keeping in mind that when I do ultra distances, my pace is 5 miles an hour. I want to be able to cover 5 miles in an hour, which is a 12-minute pace, I think, yeah. Overall, that's with the running and the walking and running and the walking. But when I'm just out here doing these small distances, for example, I'm doing 2 miles straight. I'm not doing any walking in there, but we do a little bit of walking when I do the 5-miler. I just don't feel like I'm making any progress. So I think I'm going to have to switch it up, and I think I might just have to change it up and do something different, because I'd like to be able to do a half marathon this fall. If I can get up to 8 miles, I know I can do that. It's just terrible progress. My weight's staying right around 211. I had a blood screening the other day, and I think I've got high blood pressure, so I got to go to the doctor for that. And I'm approaching age 55, and all of a sudden I'm having, you know, it's really weird. I started having these health problems when I stopped running. My diet is not bad. I mean, my wife does all the cooking. She's a half Italian, so you know, we're always eating good, but we're eating healthy as best we can. We're not eating, you know, we don't go to McDonald's. We're not that kind of family. We're not a drive-through family where we eat fast food in the car. And I'm not knocking people that do. It's just that we've chosen not to live like that. You know, rush from one thing to the next. We're not going to do that. We try to sit down and eat one meal together every day. Sometimes we're not able to. So I'm not going to talk too much about my running progress because it's horrible, like I said. Half marathon plan for the fall, kind of jury's still out on that. I talked to a friend today who, Charlotte Robb. I got a friend that lives in Charlotte, so his name is Charlotte Robb. And he is a old fraternity brother of mine. And his son has autism. He's in a, and he ran, son's name is Brody, Charlotte Brody. And he ran his first half marathon into March, called the Craft Beer Half Marathon. And he ran close to 2 hours. It's not bad. The boy's 23, 24, big kid. And that's a pretty good clip for, this kid's probably 200 pounds. I mean, he's a big boy. And he's my godson also. And, I'm sorry. I was his confirmation sponsor. He calls me Uncle Duke. I don't go by Uncle Dave. I go by Uncle Duke. I should have him call me Uncle Ashland Duke. That'd be pretty cool. So Rob had invited me to come down and do that event with them next year. Rob is going to do... So what he decided to do, they had so much fun. Rob is going to train and do the 5-miler. Brody will do either the half or the five. And then Rob's older son, who is 26, 25 or 26, he lives down there. He's out of the house. Brody lives at home with his parents. And his name is Jack, Charlotte Jack. So they're all going to do the event, whether maybe different distances. And then I got invited to do it with them. So I will at least drive down and do the 5-mile. It's about a 5.5-hour drive. But it's more than just the event. It's visiting with them. I've known Rob over 30 years, and we're still close friends, even though we don't live in the same city. But we communicate quite a bit. We do some yearly trips. We used to go camping every once a year at a bluegrass festival. Haven't done that in a while because of COVID, and the one we like to go to got canceled. But we do go to one now in Buena Vista, Virginia, which is it's actually called Nothing Fancy Bluegrass Festival, but because that's the name of the bluegrass band that sponsors it or hosts it. It's the band's called Nothing Fancy. Look them up if you're interested in bluegrass, because I know I am. So, yeah, I could at least do the 5-miler, but I would love to go down and do the half, and that'd be a different one. Apparently, it's on a lot of Greenway routes in Charlotte. That's a big thing down there. I used to do an ultra down there called the Charlotte Ultra 50K, and it was mentally brutal because you did this the same 5-10K course 5 times. And there were a lot of people that just did the 10K, and then, of course, they were done. But you're doing the 10K course 5 times, and on this greenway, there's a lot of out and backs. And it is just – I've podcasted about this before. I'd have to go back in the archives, and I might even go back in the archives and take a look and do an encore presentation of one of those, because I'm really having a hard time getting up to episode 300. And I'm going to go ahead and put out the roll call request for episode 300, which is probably going to come up sometime in 2025 or 2026. I'm just kidding. Send me an email. And I got a bunch of them. And you know who you are if you're listening to the show. I'm going to save mentioning your name until the listener roll call shout outs. So what this is, it's the listener roll call for the anniversary episodes. I did it at episode 100. I did it at 200. And I'm going to do it at 300. All I ask is for people who listen to the show to email me where they hail from, what kind of running they do, and I'll mention you on the show. You know, it's kind of cool when you listen to a podcast, even though this one's an amateur one, and you get your name called. That's kind of cool. I've had that happen to me, I think, once. And I've been interviewed for a couple other podcasts, and that's kind of weird to listen to a podcast where you're being interviewed, but... you know, that's what the whole point of the podcast is for. And you send that information to ashlanddave@gmail.com. So that's ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's if you have not heard that before and you happen to be a new listener to the show. Hopefully you come back. I don't know how you found me because I haven't podcasted in a while because that little alien abduction thing. Yeah, we're looking forward to episode 300. Now... like I said, I am coming up, be turning 55 next month. I call that the double nickel. And so that means I'm coming up on 5 years retired from law enforcement, where I did 27 years. And I cannot believe how quick the last 5 years has gone. I'm on my third job since leaving police work. But I've been in my current job for 3 years. So this is where I'm going to probably stay. It's a good job. I work for a large energy company doing threat assessment type of work. It's pretty interesting. But I miss the excitement. I miss the police culture. I do work with some people who are former law enforcement or retired law enforcement like me at different levels, federal, state, and local. You always hear that, but it's true. I do work with people from all different levels. And I do like them, and we also work with some civilian people who are in the security industry, and it's a lot different than law enforcement, but in some ways it's very similar. I love saying that. It's different but similar. Hey, anybody having trouble writing these days? I'm the kind of person that writes, you know, I'll write a sympathy card to somebody or thank you note or whatever, and I always do it handwritten. And just so you know, that if texting somebody a thank you is not really the same as a handwritten note, I was taught to do handwritten thank you notes and send sympathy cards. So that's what I do when it's appropriate. But I have found myself, and I think I did an episode where I mentioned, seems like every other week I'm writing a sympathy card to somebody that I know from church or some other situation. But my handwriting is terrible to begin with because I'm left-handed and I was never properly trained how to write because they really just looked out for the right-handers, teachers. I mean, they did the best they could, but usually that's why left-handed people have such terrible handwriting, similar to doctors. But I'm finding it harder to write now that I don't do a whole lot of writing and, you know, texting or email. So I was just curious if anybody else had that trouble. I posed that question before and I never really got much of an answer, so I'm going to go ahead and pose that again. This is like, you know, for greeting cards, sympathy cards, or if you write a check. I wrote one the other day. I had to go get some mulch for my yard. I have a utility trailer that I keep at a friend's house because he's got some space and that where it's not so tacky like it would be if it was in my driveway where everybody could see it. And I wrote a check, and I was like, man, I haven't written in a while. So it was kind of weird. We have a new Mac laptop that I'm doing the first podcast on the new Mac laptop. And the old one, it was really frustrating to do the podcast on that one because it was just, I think the computer just kind of ran its course. And you've heard me, I've said this before, it really gets frustrating when the thing just keeps spinning. We've had it looked at. It's just, it was an older computer. Now we got a new one. I'm kind of getting used to the screen being a little smaller, but it has the GarageBand software on it that I use for this podcast. And it seems to be, you know, I'm about 17 minutes in and it hasn't frozen up. It hasn't done anything weird like the other one used to do. So I'm hoping to keep going on this one, hoping to get up to 30 minutes. We'll see. That's the idea. So I just want to pass that on. So now my podcast studio, which is currently my kitchen counter, can be mobile. Sometimes I've found it hard to produce the podcast if I have people in the kitchen or around the house where they can hear me. You know, my daughter laughs at a lot of what I say. I'm not sure if she thinks it's funny or if she just thinks it's stupid. But it's hard for me to produce podcasts when there's people around. Even though I know people listen to it eventually, it's just hard to do it. So now I can take this out to my workbench in the garage or another part of the house in the future. So I had shared the sad news, I guess, for Ashlyn at the beginning of the show. But I have some very, very good news to pass along, and it has really very little to do with me, although I know the person. Ashlyn Bob is going to be a grandfather. He announced this news to our... he first announced it to our MAP group. That was the running group of me, Tom, Brian, and Bob, where we ran every street in Ashland, copying that idea from my good friend Sandy in Michigan, although the streets that I ran were not as many as hers, and we did not get in the newspaper like she did, but we do have our picture on the wall in a restaurant where we used to go have coffee after our run every Saturday morning, and that picture is still there. The framed map is not there anymore. I'm not sure what happened to it. I heard it's in the back room or something. But the owner of that restaurant, which is called The Caboose, appropriately named because it's right on the railroad tracks, has our picture in there and a picture of the map of us pointing at it. So anyway, that's the Bob of Ash. That's the Bob of that group, Ashlyn Bob. And he is going to be a grandfather. He's got two daughters, the oldest one. Is got married a few years ago, getting ready to move into a new house, and gonna have a baby later this year. So that is wonderful news. Even though I do have some friends who are grandparents, this probably would be the person closest to my local friend group who is gonna have a grandchild. Even though there's another one of my neighbors is gonna have, he's just had his first, but we're not as close as me and Ash and Bob are. So that is great news, Bob. I'm really happy for you, and keep us updated. I guess, yeah, as things go on. A couple other things here. I was a spectator for the Monument Avenue 10K a couple weeks ago. My daughter, Lucy, ran that, and she ran inside in 61 minutes, which was pretty good for a new runner. And sadly, my dad, we went out to the start. This thing has 20,000 plus runners, so it's a I think it was about that. It was pretty. It's a pretty big event for Richmond. Anytime you get that many people out to something, that's gonna be a big deal. And so we saw her start, and then we saw her finish, of course, because we just had to go to a different part. And my dad was at the turn, the halfway mark, which is the Monument Avenue 10K is just an out and back. It goes out whatever mileage, and then it goes a U-turn, and then comes back. And it's a divided road. Monument Avenue doesn't have any monuments on it anymore, except for Arthur Ashe. This is the Monument Avenue where they knocked down all LeVar Stoney, the mayor of Richmond, knocked down all the monuments, and he did it illegally. I mean, if we would have done it legally, I don't think people would have a problem. But it was kind of mob rule. It's kind of a scary time because that's when a lot of the riots were happening in Richmond, which is a cesspool, by the way. If I didn't have to work in Richmond, I wouldn't. Anyway. That's the Monument Avenue, if you've ever heard of it, although it doesn't have any monuments on it, except for one. And then, so, you know, all these, this sea of humanity passes each other, going outbound and then inbound. And my dad was at the turnaround, and he missed her. He missed Lucy. He said he was in place. We were texting, and then he didn't see her. And then Lucy said, well, I didn't see him. Maybe he wasn't there. And I said, well, he said he didn't see you. Maybe you didn't go to the turnaround. We had a little laugh about that. But anyway, Lucy came to the finish. I clipped a little video of her, and then I followed her down the chute. But my wife Monica had become separated from me, intentionally, because, where we were stationed at the finish line, we were right under a speaker that was really loud. And these are the people that are calling out the names that, or whatever costumes people are wearing who are crossing the finish line. And it was pretty loud, but I had gotten a good space on the fence and I didn't want to move. And I just said, I'll just put up with it. I kind of held my ear. But I didn't know where my wife had gone. Apparently, she had gone up the chute. And then when Lucy came through across the finish line, I followed her down the chute. And then I didn't see Monica. I couldn't find her for maybe 20 minutes, maybe a little longer. There were so many people on their cell phone. The call wouldn't go through. Texting wouldn't go through. It was just... it just took us a while to find each other because it was just lots and lots and lots of people. So my daughter ran her, that was her second 10K. The first one was the Ashland Railroad Run, which is that was epic this year. It was the course flooded. This was probably similar to more of a trail race that runs through streams because it was pouring down rain. We had no idea that portions of the course were going to flood because it was on the bank of a pond that flooded because the stream feeding it was flooding. And I was surprised so many people came out to run. We had one person complain out of a couple hundred. Other terms people used was epic. One person said, I wasn't expecting to get so wet or get my feet so wet. And the kind of thing I want to say back to that person is it was pouring rain when you got out of your car. Okay. Your feet are going to get wet. Makes me think about the time I ran the Mississippi Trail 50. We went to the pre-race dinner and the first thing the race director said, everybody's been asking me, you're going to get your feet wet. That's exactly how he was talking. It was really funny. And it was right. In the first mile, you were down to your calves in the on the trail. So I'm really proud of her. She wants to do another 10K, and I wouldn't be surprised if she at some point tries to get up to the half marathon mark. And I'm really proud of her. She swims a lot, too, and she's a she's taking a job with the county, and she's going to need that outlet to relieve some of the stress, that's for sure. I was just looking at my notes here, and I wanted to talk about time for another couple minutes because there's a couple things that I forgot. And they need to be said, because he's just an all-around good guy. If a store gave a discount for a good guy discount, you know, Ashley Tom would be the one that would get that just because of just because he's a good guy. Tom is the one who came up with the idea to do the Center of the Universe Challenge with the Ashland Railroad Run. And if you don't know what that is, just a quick recap. So, you know, I got to get up to 30 minutes here. The Ashland Railroad Run has been going on in this town for over 40 years. It's one of the longest running, pun intended, 10K races in the Richmond area. The other one is the Stratford Hills 10K, which I think is still around. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it is if it's done by the Richmond Roadrunners. So there's a lot of history with the Ashland Railroad Run, and it's done by different people who come through and serve on the board of directors at the Hanover Arts and Activity Center is who sponsors it. We used to be affiliated with the Richmond Roadrunners. That affiliation came to an end the year that I became race director, because the year before, the timer had literally yelled at the race director and made her cry, and that was just, you know, uncalled for. And so the board at that point in time had me write this letter that ended that affiliation, because we knew we could find another company to do the timing. So after that, it was a little weird when I ran into some people from the Richmond Roadrunners that knew I was probably behind that. But it didn't matter to me, because I'm not in the Richmond Roadrunners club. Got nothing against it. I'm just not in the club. So the Center of the Universe Challenge is when a runner does both the 5K and the 10K on the same day. Now, that might not sound like a lot to some, but to others it is, to run, you know, 9 miles in a morning. And so that's why we call it the challenge. And the key is being able to finish the 5K in time to start the 10K. And I can't remember what time the races are. There's, I think, the 5K, then the 5K's at 8. Yeah, you just have to be able to finish the 5K, I think, within an hour or something. Most people can do that. But he's the one that came up with that idea, and he, over the, I guess it's been probably 10 years, maybe longer, because it started when I was the race director, when I was on the board at the, what we call the HAC, the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. And every year he's been the one that has bought the trophies. So I'm not sure, well, first of all, going back to the turkey trot, I'm not sure who's going to take that over. We might have to find somebody to do that, or maybe he's appointed someone, or maybe his daughter's going to come out and do it, because they been basically doing it with him for years, so they probably know how to do it, and they're going to still be living in the center of the universe. So he's bought the trophies for that, and you know, there are people who, you know, they're really, it's cool that they do it, because for some people, they come out, they knock out that 5K, and then they cool down, and then they got to go do the 10K again. And maybe the challenging part of it is the first part of the 10K is the same 5K course they just ran, for the most part, not completely. So anyway, Tom's responsible for that. And other than getting married and having a family, I'm sure one of Tom's proudest things in his life, I'm sure he's got many. He's actually a patent holder for some software. He is a true Boston qualifier and Boston finisher. And you know, that's the Super Bowl of marathons, man. And I should have said that at the very beginning. A Boston qualifier by qualifying time, not by a charity or anything. You know, Ashland Tom, Boston, true Boston qualifier. You know, I know a lot of people have done that. I won't be able to, because I'm just not fast enough for the time for my age, unless maybe I wait till I'm 80. Even then, I probably wouldn't be able to run, because I got this bad arthritis in my ankle, which has held me back. And I lost all this time over the last 2 years with that. But anyway, that's what I needed to finish about Tom, because there's so many other things I could say. I mean, he didn't die, so I don't need to go on and on and on, but we're just going to be losing a great guy and a real good, a real supporter of running and fitness. And he'll be headed up to Pennsylvania to live. He sent me a picture a few weeks ago of it snowing outside of his house. They built a house on some property, and they'll be looking in on his in-laws. So we'll miss you, Tom, and I just want to finish those few things there. So if you want to email me, my email is ashlanddave@gmail.com. As I mentioned before, if you haven't sent me an email about listener roll call, do that. I don't save those addresses to do any marketing or anything of that nature. And it's just nice to know where people hail from and what kind of running they do and, you know, the kind of people listen to the show. I've gotten, like I said, I've gotten several from people. You don't have to send them again if you've already sent them. I've got them. All right, I'll be back with another podcast in the very near future if I don't get abducted by aliens again. This is Ashland Dave running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish. Don't forget to hug your kids and have a good week. So there's maybe one or two people that usually listen to the end of the Star Spangled Banner in case I have any post-podcast thoughts. So the thought for this show is I'm just very appreciative that you downloaded the podcast. I know I have been hit or miss with producing shows. I started this podcast over probably 12, 13 years ago. And I put a lot out there. And if you've been a listener from the beginning, and I've had several of those. I'm really appreciative. Take care.